Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Victoria. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh my gosh, I'm so bad at this. But hi everyone, my name is Victoria. I'm the creative behind Biblio Lifestyle. I also have a podcast, The Reader's Couch, and now I'm hosting the Epigraph Literary Festival. So I guess you could say I'm a jack of all trades. I'm currently living in the Sunshine State. I'm in Florida. And when I'm not reading, I'm browsing bookshelves, both in my home, at the library. I love going to bookstores as well, love collecting books. So I'm always looking for the next pretty edition. But I also have non-book related pastimes. I love going to state parks, spending time with my family, puzzling, tea time, journaling, and just sometimes just having quiet moments alone.
I love this. I'm a big journaler. So when I meet other journalers, I'm like, yes, there's more like us.
Yay!
So let's chat about Biblio Lifestyle. What inspired this idea? Were you a reader beforehand and you realized you're like, I want to talk about books because that's what we can do, you know? And what led you to the idea to grow?
You know, my start was quite interesting because first of all, I've been a lifelong reader. So I've been reading since forever. I was that child with the flashlight, you know, under the blankets, getting books for birthday presents and every holiday imaginable and just racing through them. So I had a family who really fostered my love for reading. My granddad would take me to the library. My nan had a best friend who owned a bookstore. So it's fair to say, like, I was surrounded by books. But then I discovered the online book community, Bookstagram by chance. You know, a lot of people, they'll discover the community and then they're like, oh yeah, I want to jump on in. But it was so funny. I created an Instagram page. I think it was around 2017, 2017, there about 5 years ago. And I was just posting pictures of the books I was reading and my thoughts. And then people who I did not know prior, so these are not my Instagram friends, were commenting. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. And then this whole world opened up to me. So I was a bookstagrammer, I guess you could say, for 3 or so years. And then I decided, you know, the algorithm doesn't like me. I think it doesn't like anyone. So I wanted a separate space, a separate outlet. So I created Biblio Lifestyle, started the website, you know, posted some of my thoughts, made book lists, shared some of my reading tips from over the years. It evolved into a newsletter, evolved into a podcast. It evolved now, you know, we're hosting a festival with some great authors coming up. So it's been a steady evolution, so to say, but I really enjoy more than anything, popping into readers' inboxes every Friday. Mm-hmm. Every Friday, I send a weekly newsletter out, just kind of, you know, rounding up the week's content, sharing new things as well, reading tips, some recipes, latest episodes on the podcast, and so on. So it's been an evolution, but it's fair to say I started as a bookstagrammer. The algorithm hated me, and I wanted another outlet.
I love this. And so what kind of books did you gravitate when you were a child? Were you like mysteries, like what kind of, or like just general fiction, or like, you know, love stories and, you know, fun series?
Growing up, I think, first of all, my nan, my grandmother, she gave me a lot of classics, you know, the classics books that she read, you know, and she passed them on to me. So I think my reading really started, you know, with your favorite bedtime stories, and then they evolved into the classics. But she also introduced me to mysteries. So mysteries were my first love. I know a lot of readers, you know, when I speak with them, you know, for them it was Agatha Christie. Mm-hmm. For me, it was quite the opposite. I would read the books my grandmother was reading. So it was Jules Maigret. He's a French detective. There's so many books in the Maigret series. The author is Georges Simenon. So I really started there. Then I worked my way into Agatha Christie, of course. You know, she's a classic, she's a legend. But I would say mysteries, after reading the classics, mysteries caught my attention more than anything. And then I kind of wove my way into some, you know, general fiction, historical fiction. I think I was the most reluctant to read romance. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I was a very reluctant romance reader, but I'm happy to report I am converted. I'm a new convert. I've been, Bookstagram converted me, honestly. I would read a few beforehand, but not so much to talk about. But yeah, over the past 5 years, Bookstagram has converted me, and I love the romance novels now.
All right, so we got to talk about this. So what was your gateway romance read? Which one was the conversion that converted you?
Wow, that's a good one. What was the conversion read? That's a good one. You know what? I don't remember that first book, but I remember a standout book that has never left my brain. And it's Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston. I remember before it blew up on Bookstagram, quite a few people I trusted were reading that book. Because, you know, it's, you know, the internet community, Bookstagram community, you know, it's quite large. It's like, who do you listen to? Who do you read? You know, whose books do you, how do you choose what books to read? Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we have podcasts like yours and other creators as well. But I remember that book really standing out in my mind. I also remember Jasmine Guillory. Mm-hmm. I remember The Proposal, I think it was, that stood out in my mind. So yeah, I've had quite a few, and I actually read a really good romance novel that I recommended in the Spring Guide as well. So I'm really looking forward to sharing that as well. But I'm a new convert, so happy to report that.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, it's like, it's a brand new series. It's a brand new genre. There's like, I think people have like a lot of feelings around romance and their expectations, and they expect, and because it's formulaic and so all these different things, realities, when you discover, you realize it's like a whole happily ever after. It's a feel good, joyous, you know, book, you know.
And we need more of that in life. Yeah. You know, we really do need those, you know, we need those pick me ups, those feel good reads. We need to know in the end, sometimes there's that happily ever after. So I'm so happy that romance can be that bright spot, you know, sometimes in days that aren't that great.
Yes. All right, so let's chat about the spring reading guide you have put together. Tell us a little about what's the process of putting it together, and then you're going to tell us some book recommendations.
Okay, awesome. So I have been doing seasonal reading guides for the past 2 years, and it's been amazing. I love it the most. I think in addition to reading the books, I love coming up with designs for the reading guide covers. I have a really, really great artist I work with, Lauren, and she's from Arete Graphics, and she does a great job. I have an idea in my head and she brings it to life on screen. So I'm eternally grateful for that. The process for the guide is, I would say, twofold. I would first start browsing catalogs just to kind of see what books are out there, what books are planning, you know, what books are being planned to be released at specific times of the year. So in the case of the spring reading guide, I would read in advance books that are coming out in March, April, and I guess early May. Spring is the shortest season of all the reading guides. So I'll, you know, look around, see what books are out there. I'll request them, read them. And if I love them, I make a list, and then I'll eventually work my way down and shortlist books. So I try to organize them by genre and topic to kind of help readers sometimes, because, you know, we do have our favorites. I'm a big mood reader. Sometimes I'm in the mood for a romance, or I want a historical fiction or a literary novel. So I tend to categorize books in the guide so readers can go straight to their favorite sections if they prefer. And if they decide to explore, you know, they can go to a different category or genre instead. So For the spring guide this year, I have 6 categories. So that's been great. I have literary fiction, historical fiction, romance, books with heavy themes of family and friendship. I added short story collections this season. Yes, because I'm a lover of short fiction. I know, you know, it's a love-hate relationship with some readers. I totally get it. But, you know, there's some good works that you can find there. So I was happy for the first time to kind of recommend those to readers. So the guide is free. You can just go to my website, bibliolifestyle.com, and you'll find them there. The pop-ups all over the website and places where you can download it and hopefully find your next favorite book.
Love this. So let's talk about the minimalist guy. So you have about 5 to 6 books you're going to share with us?
Yes, yes. So like I just mentioned, I have 6 categories in this year's spring reading guide. It has a total of 24 books. However, I'm fully aware that not all readers are able to read all 24 books in the guide. So what I have done is selected my top favorites from each category and created what I call the minimalist reads list. So if you're only planning to pick up a few reads this season, these are the books I highly recommend. So again, in categories, so I have a literary fiction pick in our minimalist reads list, and it's When We Were Birds by Ayanna Lloyd Banwu. Now, this is a very literary novel. It borders on magical realism as well. It's rooted in mythology. So if that's something you're interested in, this might be up your alley. So this book is set in Trinidad and Tobago, and it's infused with Caribbean mythology. And it's where the destinies of two individuals are intertwined together. We meet a woman whose family has historically been able to communicate with people in another life, in another time period, people who've passed on. So they've always had that talent. And when her mom passes away, it passed on to her. She then meets up with a young man who is a gravedigger in his community. But he's going through some things right now that are not so pleasant. And he's finding himself having to dispose of bodies for crooked politicians. So they both meet at this cemetery together. So she's there to have the burial for her family member. You know, he's a grave digger. They meet each other. And it's like love at first sight. And their connection is really strong, but it's on a spiritual level, because like I mentioned, this is rooted in mythology, Caribbean mythology. So she's super attached to her home. He gets in trouble. He's trying to run away. And, you know, things kind of get complicated. So again, it's magical realism, very literary. But if you love beautiful writing, beautiful prose, you know, I think this would be a good selection for readers to give it a go. And it's a debut, so that's also great as well.
I love this.
Okay, so next up is my historical fiction pick, and this one's entitled Forbidden City by Vanessa Hua. Now, this is set in 1960s China, and we meet a teenage girl who is very ambitious. She's like borderline cutthroat. And she catches the attention of Chairman Mao's eye. She eventually becomes his lover and confidant, but in time she sees his lies, the betrayal, and just how disillusioned she was. So this is rooted in history, specifically China's Cultural Revolution. It's not really written about much. You know, when I was trying to think back to other books that speak to this time in history, I really couldn't recall any. So if folks are looking for a historical fiction book that is not World War II, you can try Forbidden City by Vanessa Hua, because I think it's great. It speaks to a part of history that's not commonly written about. Again, China's Cultural Revolution. And yeah, it's told through a teenage girl's eyes, but it's really powerful. You know, she's so ambitious. She wants to be in his troop, but she's ruthless. And like I said, she catches his attention. She becomes his mistress, but then she realizes not is all as it seems. And she has to now find herself and, you know, reckon with the fact that she idealized this man, and a lot of people did, but he's not really as he seems.
Oh my God, this sounds so good. And I love the fact that it's in China, that's not set in Europe or in America. So it's like you get to transport into a different world that you probably wouldn't have an experience before.
Absolutely. I'm loving these books that are exploring the different facets of history, because I do love historical fiction. But after a while, you know, I want to read something that's not World War II. I love them. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's nice to read something different. So, yeah, I highly recommend The Forbidden City. That one was great.
Perfect. What's the next?
Okay. So next up is a book I put in the category of novels with themes of family and friendship. Now, I know this book is being marketed kind of borderline as a mystery, and it has mystery, but it's more of a character study than anything else. And it's The Caretakers by Amanda Bester Siegel. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a story that is told from the points of view of, I think, six women. And it tells the story of an American au pair who was arrested after the mysterious death of a child in her host family. So, you know, she's an au pair. She's working for this family. The child dies. She's arrested, and we're trying to figure out what happened to this child. However, the novel for me, again, it's a character study, and it's very heavy on themes of family and exploring belonging. Mm. So that's the reason I'm not putting it in a mystery. It has elements of a mystery because we are trying to find out what happens to this child, but, you know, the mystery of what happens unravels through the eyes of many different women. We hear from the mother of the child. We hear from the daughter and how she was feeling. We also hear from the au pairs themselves. And we realize that, you know, the mothers, even though they are financially able to hire these people, they feel guilt about not sometimes being present as moms. We also meet a teacher who is also a caregiver in a different capacity. We also hear from her and how she doesn't feel like she belongs in a society in which she is from, which is French society. The mother of the dead child, she's struggling with belonging in this upper class society of which she was not born. And then also the au pairs themselves, we hear from them because there is a group of au pairs, and we are also discovering that a lot of them are disappearing from their past lives. You know, they have baggage and they're also trying to find themselves. So I think it's very interesting because au pairs are young women, like, mm-hmm. you know, the average au pair is like 19, 20, you know, they're young. So it's almost like children taking care of children. So there's that theme as well. But and in the end, we hear from the au pair whose child she was caring for. And we hear from her as well. Ultimately, we find out what happened. But again, I think this is heavy on character study, family and belonging, and yeah, just finding oneself. But that's The Caretakers by Amanda Bester Siegel, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I love this.
All right, now my favorite, mystery and thriller. Now, I love this one because I love the classics, and I loved Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. Mm-hmm. So this was inspired by Frankenstein, and the name of the novel is The Children on the Hill by Jennifer McMahon. Now, I enjoyed this book. It's inspired by Frankenstein, and there's a hospital, which was a former psychiatric ward many years ago, and it was rumored to have monsters there as patients. And then we see a present day timeline. Because the first timeline, because it's told in alternating storylines, One is 40 years ago, one is present day. So the psychiatric facility that was rumored to have monsters and so on there, that was 40 years ago. And then present day, we meet a podcaster. And I know the true crime podcast thing has been a big thing. However, this is not really heavy on that. It's really more heavy, in my opinion, on the Frankenstein retelling. And I think the author did a great job. But yes, a podcaster follows the lead about a monster that has been abducting young girls. And those two storylines intersect because a young girl whose grandmother was the main psychiatrist, the person who was running this facility, she is a present day person trying to find out what happened. So it's quite interesting. She grew up with her brother, who was a psychiatrist. She grew up with her brother and her grandmother, who was a psychiatrist. And it was considered a great institution at the time, but rumors started to build, strange things started to happen. And then their grandmother brings home a new playmate and things take a tragic turn. So she's traveling the country. She is a host of this podcast, and the suspense really builds when she returns to Vermont, which is where this facility used to be, to find what's going on with a missing girl that was there and a monster sighting. So if you're a lover of the classics and if you loved Frankenstein, this author did a great job on her retelling, so to say, her reimagining. I thought it was so, so well done. I know sometimes people are wary of retellings and reimaginings, but this one was so good. It was great.
Oh my gosh, this one sounds so good.
It really is good. That was one of my favorites, hands down. I read it, I knew guide. It was really good. Okay, so I'm newly converted romance reader. Well, not really newly converted, it's been a couple of years, but the romance novel I'm recommending is The No Show by Beth O'Leary. Now, I know readers might be familiar with Beth O'Leary. I loved her first book, The Flat Share. Mm-hmm. That was really, really good. It was popular. Her new book, The No Show, is where we meet three very different women who are all in love with the same man. And when he doesn't show up to his Valentine's dates for any of them, so he didn't show up for any of them at all three women, they all try to kind of untangle the truth and, you know, see what's going on. And these women are very different, like three wildly different women. But I personally believe the author did a great job balancing each woman's backstory. So I never felt like, you know, one person was given more attention than the other. It was very well balanced. I love that she celebrated their differences. So instead of kind of pitting, you know, one woman against another, and, you know, making it superficial, I love that she celebrated how different they were. There was great depth to them as well, so that was great. And the guy, Joseph, even though, you know, this guy stands up to these women, and obviously that was awful, he kind of won me over a little. You know, it's like when the villain starts to win you over, so that was quite interesting. But there are twisty plots involved, you know, it kept me guessing. I wanted to see what happened next. I found myself just rooting for everyone and just kind of really wanting that happy ending all across the board. It's great. So again, Valentine's date gone wrong, guy doesn't show, they're all loving and crushing on the same guy, and then they decide to find out, okay, what's going on. So that was a great read. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I read The No Show, and it reminded me of an old Leanne Moriarty book. Ooh. You know, very like, because it's very twisty, very, and there's a lot of just a lot of place for different things you think you know, and you realize like, oh, it's a whole different story. And yes, it has like a very it just plays with time, and it plays with, yes, energy. There's a playfulness, even though the story has a lot of depth.
I think that's what I love too. I remember struggling deciding what book, because there were some great romance books, mm-hmm, out this spring, like really, really great romance books, because I recommended six. Yeah. So of the 24 books, six were romance because there were such great, great, great books. But I love that this one really had depth.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that, you know, you kind of saw that as well. The characters were very well done. Yeah. And I was rooting for everyone. It was good. I really enjoyed that one for sure.
Yeah.
And the last one, which is a new category to the guide, but I've been reading a lot of great short fiction and short story collections, and they were really great. I had three recommendations in the guide, but the one that made the minimalist list was Nobody Gets Out Alive by Lee Newman. Now, this is a collection of stories about women who have tough exteriors. And I've realized as a reader, I gravitate to stories about women. I tend to read more stories about women. I tend to read more books by women. And that's intentional on my part. But I love reading books about complicated women. And these stories are about women who have really tough exteriors. They conceal their vulnerabilities, and that's something I can relate to. The difference is these women are all based in Alaska. Mm. And I've never been to Alaska. But, you know, when I read books about Alaska and that state, but also just that territory, that area coming to be, it's a very harsh landscape. It's very rough. You know, even the early settlers who moved out there, you know, a lot of people didn't make it. A lot of people, you know, also complain about just the harsh weather, the terrain, and so on. And these women are doing it. So that's what I loved as well. So we see these women navigate that harsh Alaskan landscape, but also it's a very male-dominated society there as well. So I really appreciated that she just followed these everyday women. You know, there's a 67-year-old woman in there who goes by the name Butch and Dutch, I'm sorry. And she takes no BS from anyone, any man. She cares for dogs that she loves very much, some black labs. She loses them, you know, she grieves over them. She's had a few husbands as well. I love the fact that, you know, we met someone who was 67. I like reading about, you know, varying ages of women. We also meet Katrina. Someone who left the city to then go to Alaska, which is quite, you know, a big change. We meet newlyweds. We just meet women at different stages in life. The one thing they all have in common is that they're tough, they're strong, but they're still vulnerable deep inside. So it was very interesting. I also loved just reading about different kinds of women and in a setting that's just very different from my own, and also just navigating a very male-dominated society. So again, this story collection is Nobody Gets Out Alive by Lee Newman.
Ooh, I love this. All right, so you have a book that you want to share that's on your list, but it is important that you want to share with. Tell us all about it.
Oh, wow. When I was thinking back to books I've read 2020 to 21, I mean, 2020, I was just reading for survival because that was the first year of the pandemic, really. But 21, I was a bit more mindful of the books I was reading. And I really struggled with two books that I absolutely loved. The one I've been recommending time and time and time over again is Assembly by Natasha Brown.
Ooh.
I've been talking about that book like crazy. It was hands down a favorite of mine because I could relate to it. I felt that author was writing my story. She was writing my story. I don't know how else to put it. The summary of that book is, and it's hard to give a summary because it's a novella, I guess. Yeah, it's a novella. It's 110 pages, no more than that. Very short. And We meet an unnamed narrator who's a young Black British woman. She works in finance. Now, I've never worked in finance. That part is not my life. Mm-hmm. But she works really hard and she's been working for as long as she can. Remember, you know, she's pursuing this success and this achievement and this excellence that everyone has told her to do. She's done everything that both her family and society has told her to be. She's worked really hard. And we meet her in the novel going through something health related. The novel doesn't tell us what it is right away, but she's going through something. We also meet her boyfriend, who is a white man who's come from old family money, and his parents are hosting this big anniversary party in their lavish country manor, and our narrator is invited to attend along with her partner. And while preparing to attend this party, she starts to consider her life and the carefully assembled pieces of her life. Because the novel's called Assembly. And for me, I felt like she was reflecting on her life, reflecting on her choices. And she was questioning whether she should keep it all together, like she's been doing her entire life, or just rip everything apart. And that book spoke to me personally on so many levels. I wish I'd see more people reading it. It's really short, but it's just really good. It's very powerful. It packs a punch. And it's worth the read. And again, it's Assembly by Natasha Brown. But I'm going to squeeze in one more book and say the book I couldn't stop turning the pages fast enough, and I wanted more from it. And I know this is controversial because it was one of the most anticipated books of 2021. And you either really loved it or you hated it. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was Beautiful World, Where Are You by Sally Rooney. I had to squeeze that one in because I loved it. I anticipated that book. I waited on that book. And when I got my hands on a copy, I could not stop reading. I know people compare it to Normal People, Conversations with Friends, and I get it. But for me, this was her best work yet. I don't know why. I know she's popular. Again, it's either you really loved it or you hate it, but I'm a Sally Rooney fan, so I should really say that too. Mm-hmm. And she continues to explore themes of mental health, class, sex, millennial life. Mm-hmm. And this one I kind of felt was like borderline autobiographical in a weird way, like autobiofiction. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously she's never said that, but in the novel, we meet a successful author who suffered a nervous breakdown because of just how well her work was doing. And she moves away to a small town to kind of get away from it all. And she meets a guy, a local guy, and invites him to accompany her on a work trip. He falls in love with her, but he resents her a little. It's very interesting, their dynamic. And then we also meet Alice's best friend, Eileen, who's working at this low-paying job, who wants to be a writer, but she's also experiencing romantic feelings with her childhood friend. And I think what I love the most is the fact that her and Eileen communicate through these long, lengthy emails. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people might feel like, who communicates like that? They're debating life, they're debating politics, they're debating everything. And I kind of liked it because, you know what, it kind of questioned for me how we communicate, because I have pen pals. I have pen pals from my teenage, young adult years. I write letters. I sign up to pen pal pages. I'm meeting new people. I have a pen pal I'm emailing right now. We're going to transition to sharing or addresses so we can send actual snail mail. But I have these conversations. So for me, you know, I could relate to that. And I adored the novel. That's all I'm going to say. I thought it was touching. It was honest. I think she gave a full range to her characters, and she allowed them to embrace what I consider super embarrassing emotions. And she gave them a wide range of feelings. And I love her style. I couldn't stop turning pages. I could read more pages. But if I compare all three novels, Conversations with Friends, Normal People, and now Beautiful World, Where Are You? I think this is her best one.
That's You know, yeah, I have pen pals. So you have me on that. And I was like, yes, I had this conversation. I had those friends who I sent them long emails of like, you know, like what's going on, what's happening, and have these conversations over email, you know. So I love this. Oh, maybe I should pick it up. I have mixed feelings about Sally Rooney. So but maybe I should pick it up. Thanks to you for your selling the book. Which is the beauty of this podcast, is sell me the book.
No, I know. As an individual, she's an interesting person, you know, complicated. I mean, we all are.
We are.
And her writing is very interesting as well. Very interesting as well. She tackles millennial life head on. She really does. But also the book Assembly that I was sharing earlier is also telling a millennial story, an older millennial story, a Black woman's story. So again, I know I love reading stories about women. That's very obvious to me. And both books were my top 10, were in my top 10 books for 2021. They were both great, both millennial stories, one shorter and one's by a super famous author. But I think Natasha Brown did a great job with Assembly. And I think Beautiful World, Where Are You? Sally Rooney's best work yet. If you're a Rooney fan, yeah, if I compare the three, I think this was her best work yet.
Yes. So Victoria, tell us where you can find you online.
Okay. You can find me online. I'm on all social media at Biblio Lifestyle, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest. But where I really want to connect with readers is via my newsletter. So subscribe to my newsletter, visit my website, bibliolifestyle.com. You'll get all the news. I send one email every Friday. I don't spam because I hate spam. No one likes spam. Okay. But I love connecting with readers via my newsletter. Hit reply. I see them. I respond to all emails to me. I respond to snail mail. So you can send me snail mail too. My address is in the footer of my email that I send every Friday. But yeah, I'd love to hear from readers, hear what they're reading. And again, I love listening to the podcast and getting good recommendations here as well. So it has been amazing being here.
Awesome. Thank you, Victoria.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whatdoweweextblog.com. The What Do We Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadingsblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.